A spirit of complacency will curse your potential for God. Do not let disappointed expectations keep you from being all you can become for your Lord. God warns, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." And it is His warning against a complacent, satisfied, secure spirit. It indicates the absence of desire for things to be different or better than they are. Why does God warn against complacency? Because that spirit will steal your vision of the future and the dynamic from your work in the present. It's a curse from which you must flee. It's a deadly threat to your spiritual health. Since complacency is so serious, you must be on guard against it. It's a subtle enemy which slips in and has seized you before you are aware of its presence. Usually something outside yourself must call it to your attention and stir you up to overcome it. Let us look at the causes of complacency that we may guard against it. I call your attention to Moses, man of God, who lived under the curse of complacency for 40 years. During that time, he did nothing of significance. But when that spirit was conquered, he became God's man to lead his nation out of bondage. Moses would not even be remembered today if he had continued in that complacent spirit. He is honored as a man of God by three major world religions because he broke free to become God's special servant. No person who is in the bondage of complacency makes any significant contribution in human society. Now, what caused Moses to become complacent and drop out of God's service? Well, an answer to that question will help us guard against such a blight upon our lives today. So, let us examine the causes of complacency then and now. First, complacency can arise from disappointed expectations. Moses was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had all the privileges of a prince in the palace of Egypt. He was trained in all the learning of the Egyptians. He was noted for his persuasive speech and his great accomplishments. But Moses knew he was a Hebrew, not an Egyptian. And as he considered his position as a prince in Egypt and the poor plight of his fellow Hebrews who were enslaved, a brilliant idea came to his mind. God would use him, because of his position in the palace, to deliver the Hebrews from their bondage. Of course, he was the very man for the job. No other Hebrew had the position or the power or the influence that he had. Now, surely that was why God had spared his life as an infant and trained him in highest academic circles. It seemed so reasonable that God had raised him up for that very ministry. Now, convinced of his course, Moses set out to deliver the Hebrews. His first attempt resulted in the death of an Egyptian by his hands, and his best laid plans had suddenly gone awry. Suddenly, he was not a prince who would deliver his people. He was a fugitive who fled for his life from the wrath of Pharaoh. And at that miserable failure, Moses lost heart and gave up hope. "I tried," he might have said, "but I failed. I can do no more." And that was when the spirit of complacency began to settle upon his spirit. I've met some Christians who've given up hope. A pastor who says, "I'll just be content with this little ministry here." You cannot expect a church to grow or have an impact for God in this area. Or a church member who says, "I could have served God effectively in that office, but I was not elected, therefore there's just nothing I can do." Or a congregation that says, "If we just had more money or more people, we could afford to do great things, but as it is, we have to be content just to do a little." Now, such a spirit of complacency will curse your potential for God. Do not let disappointed expectations keep you from being all you can become for your Lord. Do not place your expectation in money, position, personal ability, numbers of people, or anything else. Place it in the Lord alone. A broken spirit which loses hope is the first step toward this curse of complacency. Second, complacency can be caused by a loss of former privileges. What a change for Moses. As a prince in Pharaoh's palace, he had all he could desire. Servants were at his beck and call. He ate the finest foods. He slept in the most comfortable bed. He was honored by his peers. But all of that was gone in a moment. He became a fugitive. He fled from the comforts of the palace to the rigors of life in the desert. He lost his wealth as a prince of Egypt for the poverty of a desert nomad. When he met Jethro's daughter, he had nothing but the clothes he wore. All former privileges were gone. If any person had a reason to lose heart because of loss of privilege, it was Moses. Now think how he must have felt. A prince of Egypt keeping a flock of sheep that didn't even belong to him. But gradually he became content to be the son-in-law to his father-in-law. He had depended on power and position to enable him to deliver the chosen nation, and since that was lost, he just gave up hope. On the other hand, contrast that Christian prisoner, Paul the Apostle, with the fallen prince, Moses. When Paul was under arrest in Rome, he did not give up hope and become complacent. He wrote 4 blessed epistles now included in our Christian New Testament: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. He requested Timothy to come to him as soon as possible. Why? To bring Mark, because Mark was profitable in the ministry that Paul was continuing to direct from prison. To bring scrolls on which Paul could write, and to bring parchments that Paul might continue a study of Holy Scripture. He was bound by a chain, but as he wrote, the Word of God is not bound. The loss of former privilege did not stop his ministry, and it will not stop yours unless you give up and lose heart. Third, complacency may be caused by having a task below one's abilities. Here is Moses, trained in all the learning of the Egyptians, and yet he was just a shepherd over his father-in-law's flocks. That job had no challenge to a man who was mighty in words and in deeds. When have you known a person who was more overqualified for his work than Moses serving as a shepherd? Now, you who are in charge of personnel in business know it is not best to hire a person who is overqualified for the task. 2 problems will result. 1, the person will be unchallenged by his task and will do less than his best at what he considers to be a job that's just child's play. And 2, when a better offer comes, one that matches his skills and training, he'll leave you and go to that other employment. To do a work which is far below one's potential becomes a burden and it dulls the spirit. Now, it takes skill to be a good shepherd, of course. There must be a constant watch for marauding animals, for harmful vegetation, for the dangers of the land. There must be a knowledge of the animals, when they should eat and drink and when they should be made to rest. But that's hardly a task which would challenge a man who was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Moses had no challenge to his intellect or to his skills. It's no wonder he fell in the curse of a complacent spirit. Take care that the spirit of complacency does not overtake you. Have you had high hopes only to see your ambitions and expectations dashed to the ground? Has some project for which you seem particularly qualified from God come to naught? Have you had great privileges and enjoyed opportunities which few others have known, only to lose them all? Have you been given a task far below your abilities? If the answer to even one of those questions is yes, then take care lest you are cursed with complacency. It can happen to you as it has happened to so many others. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you rather than on our circumstances and conditions in life. Hold us steady when we stumble over disappointments, please. And help us to feel the challenge of living godly in an ungodly society and serving you fully for Jesus' sake. Amen.